All right, welcome to Season 3, Episode 18, also known as Episode 90 of the Retro Game Club podcast. I am Hugh, and joining me is someone who also recorded an apology video to China, Rob.
Yeah, the crazy things I've been saying about their countries or territories, or I don't even know what they are. I don't even know what to say about that whole thing. Like, I understand it's a business move. You don't want to lose, you know, $1 billion or something, but oh, that hurt to watch.
Yeah, I didn't watch it. I assume John Cena will probably not be returning to pro wrestling soon. If so, he has a whole new character he can portray.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe our show's already banned in China. Who knows? We did do that Winnie the Pooh episode, so.
We did?
No, we didn't do that. We didn't. That was a joke, because Winnie the Pooh is banned in China. Although I could do like an episode on the Sega Pico or something.
I think I buy so much stuff from China, like, retro gadgets that we might actually be sponsored by China.
Without even knowing it, that's true.
Exactly, yeah.
I suppose everything we buy more or less comes from there. All right, so what have you been up to?
Oh, man, let's see. I've been working on my kind of analog setup, which is, not a non-digital setup, but the company analog. So I have the NT Noir, the Super NT, and the Mega SG, so Nintendo, Super Nintendo, and Sega Genesis. And finally been kind of hacking those, setting them up and stuff like that. And seems to be working out, but I did give up on getting 32X working. It's just total nightmare. So if I ever need to play a 32X game,
What's the problem with, like, does it not emulate the 32X, or do you have to physically have a 32X?
So I have a physical 32X. The problem is that, well, A, it doesn't emulate it, because that would be, for an FPGA, 32X is really complex. But it only, I'm using air quotes, only has an HDMI out. And so you could get what's called the analog DAC, and then you could also get a 32X to DAC cable. So you plug the HDMI out and all the 32X out into this DAC, but then the DAC has a VGA out because it's really meant to use on like CRT monitors. Well, it's just a crazy setup. So I'd be going from HDMI to 32X to the DAC, which is VGA, back to HDMI. It was just too much, I'm just trying to keep...
I already don't follow you at all.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So if anyone from analog is listening, please just make a 32X compatible device. Thank you.
But I'm sure there's a huge market for that.
Yes, yeah.
A lot of people who want to play a slightly better version of Pitfall the Mind Adventure.
Yeah, or I guess Afterburner would be,
After, there's a good Space Harrier. It's a lot of good arcade ports. I mean, the Mortal Kombat 2 port is really good. NBA Jam is really good, but if you already have it on Saturn or PlayStation, you don't really need it. The 32X version of Mortal Kombat 2 is way better than the Saturn version.
Yeah, see, I was looking at all these games, I just Googled 32X game list, and I was looking through them to make this choice, and yeah, I was just like, I'll just emulate 32X until a better solution is out.
Yeah. The problem is there's just not a lot of exclusives.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good arcade ports, but if you have a MAME cabinet or arcade collections or anything else, right, you have better arcade ports for most of these.
Exactly, yeah. So I'm kind of in the middle of all of that, and I actually had some people over this week, which is kind of strange. And fun, but that means I turned on all my arcade stuff, and it all worked great, other than the next day my kid wanted to play some more, and my Centipede cab died, so just more time of me fixing stuff instead of playing stuff. And then today at lunch, I watched some of the Sonic 30th Anniversary stream on Twitch. This is kind of one of our news items, but yeah, they announced Sonic Origins, which will be Sonic 1 through 3, and I think Sonic CD, I could be wrong on the last one,
And I think they said Sonic CD. I saw something in my news feeds about it.
Okay, cool. And then some weird, like, I don't know if it was a full game or just some DLC on a mobile game or something, but there was some Sonic Hospital game where, like this isometric thing where you're walking around as Sonic, like, fixing people.
That sounds bad.
Yeah. And then a new Sonic game. I think it's new. I think it was for Wii, and now there's, like, an upgraded version coming out for Switch called Sonic Colors, which looked pretty cool. And, yeah, that's about it. What have you been up to?
It's a good question. So I finished Shakedown Hawaii recently. Don't know when. It's been a while since we recorded, it feels like. But I finished that, I don't know, a few days ago, let's say. And I keep wanting to play Shenmue 1 and 2 because I have Shenmue 3. And I mean, I guess I could just read some sort of recap of the story before I start 3. Mm-hmm. And I've never actually played 2 because I was only on, that's on the Xbox here in the U.S., right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Something I never owned is the point. But man, that game really has not aged well. It's really hard to play that game. And the soundtrack is still great. And, like, the general idea of the game, I think, is still really good. Just they did not update the controls. I'm talking about the PS4 remaster of Shenmue.
Is it tank controls still?
It's exactly the same as the Dreamcast. Like, you go into the menu screen, it's the, like, where it has, like, the controller help, it has a Dreamcast controller. Like, it's, I don't know if they just wrote, like, a Dreamcast emulator for the PS4 or what, but you're playing the Dreamcast version.
Okay.
And I'm going to get like a shortest route FAQ or something. Something like that. Cause it is, I'm hoping by 3, the controls are better. It's just so hard to play. Like I played it in like the year 2000 and I thought it was great. And, 20 years of making open world games. it's way behind. That's all I'll say. It just is not fun to play anymore.
You know me, I never thought it was fun to play.
Okay. I actually did like it the first time around. I thought that was pretty cool.
I think I just played it around the same time I first played like GTA 3. And, you know, I was just like, this game is boring compared to this other one where I could do anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, the GTA, the PS2 GTA games, also the controls feel terrible today. But, I mean, not the driving is still good. The when you're walking around part is, I think, pretty bad.
Yeah.
But overall, those games are still a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was reminded of that when you picked Bully as our game club game.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the same kind of mechanic, I guess, or engine.
I forgot that I picked Bully. Must have been a back-to-school episode or something.
I think it was.
Yeah, yeah. But Bully is a lot better than, like, GTA 3 in terms of controls.
Mm.
All right, so we have a ton of news. We should I have one other thing in my notes here, but I'm going to save that for later.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I was just going to mention briefly that, yeah, in 10 episodes, in episode 100, we will be doing Ask Us Anything, so... just wanted to get that out there. Email us, email@retrogameclub.net. Ask us any question. We might have some giveaways and stuff. So just wanted to throw that out there. But yeah, news. Summer Games done quick, starting July 4th. I guess there's a great lineup people are excited about.
Yeah, there is. I looked at it. I watch this every year. I kind of have it running on an extra screen all week. And... yeah, I looked at the schedule. They do a lot of Zelda games. I should have had the full schedule opened before I started talking, which would have been a smart thing to do. But yeah, I mean, like day one, obviously, like I think it's a Zelda game almost every day. They do Oracle of Ages on day one, Kirby Psychonauts, which I don't know if I've ever seen a speed run of before. It's probably been at a previous event. I'm just saying I don't recall seeing one. Weird stuff like Nintendogs is on the list. Super Smash Brothers Brawl. I don't know how that works. Complete Lego Star Wars is on here. I actually really want to see that one. Just going through the list. Yeah, then they have one day that is just a ton of Castlevania games. GTA 3. I'm skipping a lot of games. I'm just calling out things that sound interesting to me. Earthworm Jim kind of interesting. I think they've done that in the past too. Majora's Mask, which they do all the time. Untitled Goose Game. That's like in the middle of the night, though, so you'll probably miss it.
That would be a good one to watch, though, because there are some cool unlockables. Well, challenges in that one. So, yeah, that would be cool.
Well, that is scheduled for 11:36 p.m. on Wednesday, July 7th.
That's not a real time for me anymore.
That's not a good time, yeah. Return to Castle Wolfenstein. Is that the new PC one or the original Return to Castle Wolfenstein?
I can't keep track of them or Doom games anymore. I just don't
They're playing a two-hour Breath of the Wild all dungeons run. That's pretty optimistic. All right, I'm not just going to sit here and read off game titles, but a lot of stuff. I think Blindfolded... Yeah, there's Super Mario 64 Blindfolded is on the last day.
Oh, nice. Later in this episode, we have a pretty funny story that has to do with that. What else do we have here? Oh, Star Fox 64 Survival is a tricky Horde mode spinoff of Ocarina of Time. So this is a mod of Ocarina of Time, but it's a Star Fox 64 game. So, Fox McCloud was kind of marooned on this planet, and he's just running around. It's like, you know, a 3D platformer, kind of. Like, you know, like a 3D Zelda game. So, this looks like a pretty cool mod to check out if you're a fan of either series. So, I'm definitely going to give this a download if it's still available.
Let's see, putting Doom on a bootloader. I feel like we could just do a show called Doom Running on Things.
Yes, absolutely.
So this is, basically running Doom off your BIOS.
Pretty much, or like, yeah, so you would use like grub or something to load it.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, that's on Hackaday. So actually, that'd be a fun game show. You would just list three things and you'd have to pick what Doom doesn't run on yet.
Yeah, or like one of these baking shows where they show like some insane cake and then you have like the ingredients and you have to make it. Like you just get like three different super like nerdy Doom modders, right? I can already picture what they all look like. and you just hand them, it's like, here you go, here's the Pico 8 or whatever. Like they have no advance warning of what system they have to try and get Doom running on.
That's a good idea. That's a really good idea.
Yeah, yeah. So, but first we'd find something Doom's not running on. That's the hard part.
Yeah, that would be the hardest part.
But, you know, they make new, like, smart LG smart fridges and stuff all the time that I'm sure are hackable because LG makes terrible products. So, like, you know, that's an editorial comment. I bought every LG appliance I've bought has failed in some catastrophic and comical way. You know, LG smart toaster or some nonsense, right? Or like this Bluetooth meat thermometer that I was about to buy. I don't really know how that works. It's a meat thermometer, but then it sends the temperature to your phone.
Yeah, I think people use that for smokers and stuff. So you don't have to go outside and open up the smoker.
Yeah, this was like a traditional looking one. Like you would actually, like you would walk up and jab it into something and then you have to hold, yeah, I don't know. I think my toothbrush is Bluetooth, so what the hell am I, you know. Anyhow, that's our game show, Doom Running on Things.
Yeah, yeah. Our next story is your favorite of the week.
It is, yeah, I like this one. Hackaday, E.T. video game reimagined as 10 lines of basic code.
This is incredible.
Yeah, it's for a British Z80-based computer I'm really not that familiar with. It's not a full recreation of the game, but it's, you know, looks like it.
For 10 lines of code, it looks pretty good, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't understand, you know, I know some basic, you know, I haven't done it in years and years, but, I mean, I don't understand any of this.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Yes, it's for a computer called... The Sam Coop? This might be the first I've heard of this.
Yeah, I don't know that one.
Yeah, it's a UK computer built in 3.5-inch disk drive. So if it was a Z80 computer and had a 3.5-inch disk drive, that's a little bit ahead of its time.
I mean, I'm sure, BASIC is similar kind of across the spectrum. So hopefully it could probably be ported to other systems with not much effort.
All right. Hey, do you like paying way too much for import games?
It's kind of a hobby of mine.
Yeah, well, Super Potato is opening its own eBay shop. So rather than, you know, actually going out and buying games, possibly getting a deal somewhere, you can compete against other importers and pay way more than you should for some of these.
Yeah. And it's weird because some of their stuff is so expensive, but then you could also get a Wii for a dollar.
Yeah. I had to buy a replacement Wii for the disk drive on mine burnt out. But yeah, I'm looking. The prices here are I bought a number of import games. These prices are really not very good.
No. But I guess I was going to say you know you're getting something good, but you actually don't.
Yeah, it's like you're paying a premium to buy from a shop that is well known.
Yeah, which would be worth it if you were actually there and you got the experience, but you're just on eBay. So, I don't know about this one. Nothing against Super Potato or anything.
No, I would like to visit someday.
Yeah.
Who knows? Rare Super Nintendo SA-1 demo cartridge has been found and preserved. So this is...
not the company Rare. It's just...
Right.
It's the definition of Rare.
Yes, it is the adjective Rare. The demo does not look like especially advanced. I mean, it's clearly just like, here's how you make this thing work. Other than it has a lot of sprites. The graphical quality is not great. It just has a lot of sprites and then some rotation effects.
Yeah, so it's like how many sprites you could get on moving on a screen compared to if you just use the, not the SA-1 chip in the Super Nintendo. And I guess, was this actually by Nintendo? I don't know if it says that in here.
I mean, being that it's using Nintendo IP in some of the demos.
Oh, it must be. Yeah.
I assume so.
Yeah, you're right. What do we got next?
Original Game Boy powered up with Game Boy Advance motherboard. So is this someone put a Game Boy Advance motherboard inside a Game Boy?
It's not a great title, but that's what it is. So they use a Game Boy SP innards and a new LCD screen and battery inside of a blue Game Boy.
Okay.
Just so they could kind of have the original experience, but also play some, GBA games.
Right. Or you could buy a GBA. That's like,
yeah.
Those are like a dollar too.
Yeah, true. Probably from Super Potato.
Yeah,
a lot of people are really excited about this in the comments, and that's kind of why I included this one, because I kind of didn't get the hype. Like, you know, no offense against this project, but people seem to really love it, and I just didn't understand what I was missing, you know?
Let's see here. Tetris operating system. It's an operating system that only plays Tetris.
I think this is my favorite of the week. So apparently you can't install this on real hardware yet, but you could use like a virtual box or something and get it going that way.
Yeah. I mean, if they made a Raspberry Pi version of this, maybe I would try it.
Yeah. But
I think it's important to x86 only so far.
Seems like a cool kind of demo, though. More Tetris news on Hackaday. Again, we've had a lot of Hackaday this episode. Tetris for Game Boy gets online multiplayer. So this is a Game Boy link cable to USB to, kind of the internet. And yeah, you want to jump in on this one?
No. I mean, it's a very smart project and very advanced and everything. This sounds like such a bad experience. I mean, I don't like playing online games, but like, There's no microphone on the Game Boy, so I guess it could be worse.
Yeah, and it would definitely have to be with someone you already know anyway. It's not like there's a server for this or something, but they did come out and say that this only works with Tetris. It's not like they could do this in the future, but it's not like an all-purpose like link cable to TCP/IP solution.
Yeah, you could link up to like four Game Boys, couldn't you? Because there was like a racing game that came with a four-way adapter early in the Game Boy's lifespan.
It was at least
that would
four.
Be all right. Yeah,
I thought it was even more than that. I could be wrong though.
Could be. Yeah. Yeah. I remember it being a four-way, but maybe it was more. I have a catalog scan with it that I don't have memorized.
Yeah. What a weird time.
I guess I could find my own article about it. Evercade is making a retro console for your TV called the VS that uses cartridges, but they're not really cartridges. They're like game collections on a cartridge, right? I mean, I guess it is a cartridge because you plug it in.
Yeah, it's the same style of cartridge that their other system uses. So I guess they're kind of making a little ecosystem up from all this. And I've never used one of these. I don't think this really is something I need, but I guess they're selling pretty good if they're doing all this stuff. So,
well, I know one of their systems got some of the worst reviews I've ever seen for one of these these devices.
I don't deny it.
So I'm a little like I'm kind of worried about quality. Like the games that they include are kind of the C-list games for the most part. You know, they have a lot of oddball collections of things that. You know, they of course have some Atari collections and they have, the typical Namco Museum, but then it's a lot of like, there's like Atari Lynx collection, which again, Lynx games are kind of, there's a Halco collection, Techno. I mean, Techno's like they made a couple good games and then there's some filler, you know, that's what a lot of these are. It's like a publisher who had one or two good games and then it's like buying a greatest hits album, right?
Yeah.
It's like buying a greatest hits album for like, Milli Vanilli or something, right? Like, okay, there's like two hit songs you really remember from the radio and then a lot of filler.
Yeah.
And that's how a lot of these collections feel like.
Yeah, up to 200, they say 280 games will be available. So I don't know. What's this, $99? I mean, or you could just buy Raspberry Pi. But once you get everything you need, like controllers and stuff and a case or whatever for a Raspberry Pi, you're pretty much getting up to $99.
Yeah. So because I like the Intellivision, I'll pick on like the Intellivision collection. Okay. They have a game called the Intellivision collection. It has Thin Ice, which is pretty good. Shark, which is pretty good. Snafu, pretty good. Astro Smash, Night Stalker. But then it's got like Buzz Bombers, considered like one of the worst games ever made. Frog Bog, which is okay. It's just you don't really want to play it more than once. Maybe when you were a kid, you liked it a lot. Word Rockets, which is a weird one. That is a game from one of the learning fun time learning games. There were like a two or three learning games for the Intellivision, and that's not even the full game. This is like one of the mini games in a collection of learning games. So it's a really weird pick. But essentially, two letters fly above you with a gap in the middle, and you have to like grab the missing letter and shoot it.
Okay.
That's it. You're just trying to spell three-letter words, basically.
Okay.
Maybe there's more letters. But what I'm saying is it's like, okay, a couple good games and then some filler. Just to make the number bigger.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, so many systems do that though, right?
Yeah. All right. Enough about that thing. Although I think are we talking about them later? I don't think so. Okay, good. Modder stuck a Wii into a Game Boy Advance SP. This is much more impressive than the other one.
The opposite of the other article.
Yeah.
So, I recently learned that this community calls it Wii trimming. So cutting up the Wii motherboard to fit into smaller and smaller things. Because they're figuring out there's so many parts of the Wii motherboard you actually don't need for it to run perfectly. But if you want a Wii inside of a Game Boy Advance SP, case. I mean, this is incredible.
So finding games that you can play just with regular non-motion controls is going to be the hard part.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, with all these portable Wii things, yeah. But, I forgot to mention, speaking of this kind of stuff, my buddy brought over his Odroid the other day. That's that Wii-looking Raspberry Pi-type device. I think they're only like $70 or something. It worked really well. I was really surprised. So since we reported on that before, I just wanted to throw that out there that I've used one and it's pretty cool. Might be worth the money.
Yeah, I heard about this rumored Steam handheld device that they're working on. And normally I would be skeptical of Steam hardware because their last hardware was kind of a bad idea. If they made something that was just like integrated with Steam and had good Proton support, you know, Proton's, because it would be a Linux-based system, and Proton is what you use. Proton's basically just a custom version of Wine.
Yeah.
Like, if they had that all and you could play Windows games on there, maybe you couldn't play the highest-end games, but I'm mostly playing, like, Japanese RPGs that came out 10 years ago, so I don't really care about performance that much. I bought a bundle of, like, FMV games from the 90s that I still want to finish playing through, right? I mean, performance is not my biggest concern. I would consider giving that a try just because of it, just if it's easy. Like, the reason I don't do a lot of PC games is just that it's always a lot of effort. And I don't like effort, as you can tell from my show preparation.
Well, it would also probably save your game saves. So if you ever went from that device to your desktop, you're good to go.
Yeah.
Because it's Steam, you know. So, yeah, and on Steam you have RetroArch as well. Oh, we have another Alex, well, not another, but there's an Alex Kidd in Miracle World DX. So it's a remake of the original, kind of like the remake of, what was the game we just played?
Dragon's Trap?
Thank you, yes.
Yeah. It's similar graphical style, yeah.
Yeah, so this looks pretty good. Now, Alex Kidd is definitely not my favorite series, but this looks pretty good. I'm assuming it'll be on all systems.
Yeah, I would assume so. I just hope they either improve or get rid of the rock, paper, scissors mechanic.
I don't think they're going to... How would they improve on it?
I guess by getting rid of it.
Yeah, see, I don't see that. If it's a remake like that, if it's that close, like their other ones they've done, I doubt that'll happen. Do you want to play Xbox on a Nintendo DS screen?
No.
Okay. Then you probably won't like this article. This rare accessory will let you play modern consoles through your DS. So this is deceiving. So what this thing is, it's a DS add-on that was only released in Japan, and it's an FM tuner, kind of like you could get for the Turbo Express, except much, much larger. And it sits on the bottom of your original DS. I'm assuming it was just for watching TV, but someone modded it where you can use it to stream like your Xbox and PlayStation games too. Here's where it's deceiving, is that it only uses the screen. It's not like you're using the DS controller as well. So I don't know why you would do this.
Right. If you could use the controller, then I guess it would be like the alleged ability to stream PS4 games to your Vita.
This would absolutely work better than that. I've never seen this, but it would definitely work better than that.
Well, right. I mean, streaming games to your Vita is totally non-functional.
Yes.
So it's going to work better than that. But that's kind of what I was hoping this would be.
And that was actually one of the questions I wish I would have asked Burger Becky, since she's worked on the PlayStation 4 and Vita firmware and OS and kernel. Like, can she tell us why that particular thing? Like, the rest of the system works great. I'm very impressed with all those systems, but this one feature is just not there. So hopefully one day we could talk to her again and ask her that. Do you want to build your own Star Wars arcade cabinet?
Actually, that would be pretty cool. This one I like, yeah. So this is a Raspberry Pi project to build. This is the original Star Wars arcade, not like, it's not a sit-down cabinet. It's the, you know, kind with the, what do you call it? Flight sticks?
The yoke. What do they call
it? That's it. That's the correct
term. But yeah, you can, you use the Raspberry Pi, this custom yoke they built that's like USB connected, and they have the, would it be a CNC machine? Whatever you use to cut big pieces of wood to make an exact replica of Star Wars Arcade from 1983, which I'm literally sitting next to one right now. Those things get really hot. They break a lot. The screens are really expensive. So this is a great option. When did this come out? This only came out very recently. And 1UP has... I mean, you could buy, you know, one from 1UP for like $350 or something. So I'm not sure exactly what would make this better other than you could probably add more CRT effects, you know, like bloom and all that kind of thing. Maybe some scan lines in there. Well, it's a, you wouldn't have scan lines on this kind of screen. But anyway, yeah. So still a very cool, very good looking project.
What is next? Sorry, I lost track of things here. Save RAM hack. I added this one too. Look at that. Save RAM hack for NEC handheld consoles. So if you want to have, so on the Turbo Graphics, you didn't have Save RAM built into the system unless you got the Turbo Booster. Uh-huh. And not a lot of games use Save RAM. There's not a lot of like chip RPGs. I think maybe Order of the Griffin is the only one I can think of offhand. Obviously, there's others. I'm just saying that's the first one I can think of. And this is a physical hack to add save RAM to the Turbo Express.
Yeah, and it looks like it fits just between two of the boards and between the board and the battery. So your Turbo Express, you know, would look exactly the same, except you could actually save to it. Yeah, this is a cool little project here. Is there a price breakdown or anything? Because you're really on your own to do all this stuff, right? It's not like you're actually buying a single product or a PC board.
Yeah, I mean, this is a very do-it-yourself thing. I think are you hacking a part? I guess I should have read the description a little better. I was just like, wow, this is really awesome. It looks like he hacked a board that had the save RAM. Looks like he basically is breaking down a old, it sounds like he actually is breaking down a turbo booster, cutting it apart and putting the part needed for save RAM into the Turbo Express.
I like that he actually has Bonk, a picture of Bonk on this board. Or Airzonk, whichever one. It looks the same when you draw it like he did.
Yeah, and the chip he's installing has Hudson written on it, so I'm just sort of assuming that it's the from the Turbo Booster.
Yeah, I'm wondering if you could get... Yeah, you could probably get those same chips from, like, Mauser or something, though. But who knows?
Rare Mega Man title is getting a physical reprint. This is the Genesis Mega Man game?
Yeah, Mega Man The Wily Wars. I think this is on a few digital collections, right?
Maybe. Hold on. I conveniently next to me have this thing called Mega Man Anniversary Collection for the GameCube. And it just says it has 10 games. Oh, I actually have to put it in to find out. Hold on. Look at the manual here. I don't remember buying this, so
that's what's great. That's where I heard of this one. It's on the Mega Drive Mini.
Strangely, I don't think the manual lists the games that are included because the games all have the same controls.
That is weird.
Wait, Mega Man 1, Mega Man 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This is exciting, I'm sure. Hold on. 7, 8. 8. Well, that's only 8 games. It says there's 10. Okay, well, one day when I play this, I'll get back to you on it.
Well, I'm looking here. Yeah, if you got the Genesis Mini or the At Games Portable Genesis, this is on there. But now you could actually own a physical copy with pretty cool box art and stuff like that. Oh, by the way, did you end up picking up the Castlevania stuff from
Limited Run Games? That's a good question. That's another really outstanding question. Hold on. Which email account do I use for my Limited Run Games purchases? I think I did buy it, yeah. I mean, it's not going to be out yet, right? It takes them like a year to ship.
No, it's...
I mean, I like Limited Run Games. Months. It takes them a really long time to ship stuff.
You'll get it just in time for Halloween.
Switch Limited Run 106 Castlevania Anniversary Collection times one. I did purchase that.
Cool. Nice. So is that the edition with the nice box art and
I bought the cheapest extras. One. I mostly just wanted to play around Halloween. Maybe you'll get here by Halloween. I don't know. I still have three or four games I'm waiting for.
Exactly. We got two other news items here. Our possibly strangest story of the week. Super Mario 64 Speedrunner beats game using a drum set. Did you watch this video at all?
No. I'm be kind of blunt. I'm kind of burnt out on Super Mario 64 speedrun things.
I know. I think we're getting close to not reporting on this stuff anymore. But this one was kind of funny. So he's using it's much better than a regular like Rock Band type drum set, but definitely an electronic drum set. And you could see what he has mapped each drum to, and watching him do this and seeing how fast he goes through this game and how fluidly he goes through this game is really impressive. But this is something I never have to do. He beats it in 1 hour and 28 minutes. So you could also get yourself kind of a workout playing Super Mario 64. And then ex-Nintendo programmer reveals Zelda 64 had portals a decade ahead of Portal.
Yeah, I mean, Pac-Man had portals like two decades before Portal.
I'm not sure this is
breaking news, but yeah, there's some really interesting ideas they were playing around with.
Yeah, you could actually see through a portal and see what the other room looked like and jump to another part, another part of the map or whatever. He just, coded this idea too late and, is too deep into development. So he said most of the programmers never even saw this tech demo. That is news. So I guess we got some game club, right?
I'll say this past week has not been my favorite picks combined.
Yeah, well, I'll go first because I'm sure mine will be quick. So I picked Pigs in Space starring Miss Piggy for the Atari 2600, and I did it just so I could have a tie-in to the BK Taylor interview. And based on your feedback and stuff, it seems like I really didn't need a tie-in. People seem to really enjoy the interview, and the fact that it was retro and not video games was enough for people. So anyway, this is a Space Invaders clone, and it's not very deep. You play a pig, point a finger up, and you're shooting, looks like chickens that make kind of balking noises. Every once in a while, Gonzo flies across the screen, and you could shoot him so he goes faster. And I guess the only reason why you would want to do that is the noise he makes is really annoying. Yeah, I mean, this isn't a horrible game. It really isn't. It plays fine. Like I said, there really isn't any depth to it. But, I was really young when I had my 2600. And if I got this game, which I did not at the time, it was from 1983, which is actually kind of late for 2600, I'd be fine with it. I'd probably play it here and there. I wouldn't be sad by getting it. So I know we listed any Muppets game. So I watched some of the video of, what was it, the Muppet Cruise? What was the one you recommended?
Yeah, Muppets Party Cruise.
Yeah, which seemed like a very fine game. It might it be is. A real game club game in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I won't talk about it too much, but I did play that game with my kid. We still, that is like the GameCube game that maybe has the most longevity in my house. Mm. Like, we go back and play that at least once a year.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean, the graphics were good in it. There's a Kermit rap, which is pretty, I can't even think of a word for it. It's definitely a thing that exists, though, that I didn't know existed.
Yeah, so all the characters in the Party Cruise game have little things like that. So, like, while you're playing the different mini-games, if you're doing well or badly, each... Like, whoever's doing first place or whoever's in last place has some little, like, saying or song that they do. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of that, and it varies a little bit per game.
Yeah, I'll have to play that one for real. That's... The video I watched was PS2. You guys have it on a different system, though, right?
Yeah, GameCube. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually wasn't even aware it was a PS2 game. I've only ever seen it on... I've only ever played it on GameCube. But, yeah, definitely worth it. Well, do you have four control... Wait, you have to get an adapter to play on PS2, though, right? Because it's a four-player game.
Oh, yeah, that is true. Yeah. Jeez, I don't even know if I've seen an adapter like that, but it must exist.
Yeah, I have... So... Off topic, I have a four-player adapter for the PS1. Probably works with the PS2. It's the same port configuration, but maybe DualShock or something doesn't work. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I've never tried it.
I should mention that Pigs in Space is kind of a multi-game where if you get far enough, it turns into a Frogger clone. And if you get... It changes once again, I think, but I never really got that far. So, there you go. Yeah, let's hop over to your game.
So, my game club game was what? Total Carnage? Probably not my best pick. I mean, it's... I picked it originally because of how much it reminded me of Shakedown Hawaii. So, Shakedown Hawaii has a combat system and a graphical style pretty similar to Total Carnage. But, you know, Total Carnage is kind of, you know, it's a sequel to Smash TV, sort of. It's clearly the same development team and so on. It's just not as much fun. Like, I can't imagine anyone ever played this game not on free play mode. Because, you know, like, Smash TV is a game where you die a lot. But Total Carnage, it's like every 3 seconds you die. And a lot of the deaths are really cheap. I mean, landmines, that kind of stuff. And especially boss fights. Like, you get these bosses that are really graphically impressive, but they take, what, well over 1,000 shots? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not an exaggeration. You just are piling rockets into them for an hour, it seems like. And if they touch you, you die, and you must die 40 or 50 times against the average boss in that game. Yeah. So it feels like a game that was really designed just for, like, free play, like Aladdin's Castle parties back in the day.
Well... And you mentioned, you know, there's landmines and stuff, but you also pick up upgrades, and some of them are just random shapes, like, you know, a blue square, but mm-hmm. landmine is just like a red circle. So the first time I was like, oh, is that another upgrade? And I just blew up.
So I actually played this on a collection. It's on one of the Midway Arcade Treasures collections. So, of course, I played it in free play mode. Yeah, I guess I would be unhappy if I played this in the arcade because, you know, you'd put in a quarter and you'd be, you know, game over in like a minute and you're a few steps into the game.
So I used this to test my Super NT Mini and I actually switched out the controllers. I'm using, you know, just regular, you know, actual Super Nintendo controllers and like the start button just wasn't working in the first one, so I switched it out. I went to the second one. It finally started working. I couldn't tell if it was a glitch with the game, like, you know, with the ROM or whatever, but did you find any issues like that, or you think there might be some compatibility issue or something I'm just working out over here?
Yeah, I think that's your problem.
Okay, you didn't run into any of that, but yeah, I did get it working fine, and like you said, it's a good-looking, good-sounding game. Smash TV is just better.
Yeah, it's just more fun. I mean, it's also very hard and you go through a lot of quarters, but it doesn't feel as cheap.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually don't remember seeing this in the arcade, just on a console.
Yeah, I definitely saw it at Aladdin's Castle, something like that.
I mean, I think even Robotron is better than this one.
Yeah, Robotron is definitely more fun. We have some, I know there's some listeners that are like real diehard Robotron fans, so you probably don't want to insult Robotron.
Yes, yes. So, what are you going to play for next episode?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with my Summer in the Arcade theme here, and I'm actually going to play an arcade game that I'm aware of but never tried. That is Mr. Dew's Castle. I guess this is a pretty epic, famous arcade game, and I just never played it back in the day.
Yeah, it's another very cherished game, and I'm excited for that one. And I'm going to go with Blaster Master, a game that reminds me of my my childhood summers, so kind of keeping that theme going. So if anyone has any comments on Pigs in Space, Total Carnage, Blaster Master, Mr. Dew, any other game we've played, any retro game you're playing, any news we have, any retro comments or stories you have or projects, please email us. Email at retrogameclub.net. That is email at retrogameclub.net. And Zach runs our Facebook and Twitter. That's facebook.retrogameclub.net. And at RGC Podcast for Twitter. And we've got quite a bit of feedback here.
Yeah, we do. And there's one really like detailed email here. I'm going to have a hard time getting through because I'm not a good reader. That's why I'm going to have a hard time getting through it. I'll start with an easier one, though. So Majors wrote in feedback on a couple topics like Yahoo and Hotmail being just for boomers, which is a statement I stand by. But he does mention that early on Xbox Live, you needed a Microsoft email. So a lot of people had Hotmail accounts for that. And that some ISPs, not out here, but I guess some, still issue you a Yahoo email address when you sign up.
Nice.
Because Verizon owned Yahoo until a week ago or something, right? That must be why.
Yeah, yeah.
Too many games being overkill. So he mentions back during the PlayStation and Saturn years, he would order cartons of shady discs from Hong Kong. And when they arrive, he and his friends would all get together and test them out. And yeah, I never really had time to focus on any one particular game because there were just so many of them. And it has the same problem with ROMs and flashcards. So nowadays, he basically just decides to set aside time with a single physical game rather than try to get through tons of them.
That's a good idea, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then the Burger Becky interview, he talks about seeing her in the High Score documentary and was glad to hear more from her. It's good feedback there. Mentions buying a Neo Geo memory card so we could have a chance of beating Magician Lord in the arcade. Very cool. And the NFL Blitz game in his local arcade always had gum jammed in the memory card slots. Yeah.
Yeah,
that people tracks. Are really the worst.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, just wait until the... I guess he was impacted a little bit by the gas shortages that I was making fun of, the whole perilous week of gas being temporarily shorter. Yeah. But he said that some gas... This is where I actually am a little bit jealous. He mentioned that gas stations raised prices up to $3 a gallon. And if you live along one of the Great Lakes, that doesn't seem like an outrageous rate.
That's like normal, yeah.
Normal, yeah. So people who don't live like on a lake county don't understand that there's additional fuel taxes on counties that border one of the Great Lakes. And you end up paying a lot more for gas than you do just like one county over. So they mention, he mentions... some games on the TurboGrafx had longer delays for the select and run. Like you have to hold it for like 3 seconds rather than just hitting it once. And that's interesting. I don't know if I've ever encountered that or maybe I have and forgot about it. But that would then tell me that that's a programmatic thing. Like developers were told to put that in the game. Yeah. So that would mean that if you wrote a TurboGrafx game, you could override that behavior.
Yeah.
I thought that was maybe like hardwired.
That's what I thought too, yeah.
Yeah. Because I think on the Genesis, as a programmer, you can ignore the reset button.
And just map it to another button?
I'm pretty sure you can, yeah, if I remember the documentation. I guess I could write a demo for that, like a game that used the reset button to, like, jump or something.
Please do that.
I think you can do that. I think you can completely ignore the reset button. Hard to get anime in 96. Did someone mention that? That was hard to get anime in the mid-90s?
Burger Becky did. Or I did. Someone did.
Okay, yeah. I never remember anything. But he mentions that he worked at a Walden Books in the 90s, and he was put in charge of the new manga section because his boss figured it's what the kids were into nowadays. And he speculates that he bought most of the inventory that went to the store.
That's awesome.
And as for Game Club, Total Carnage, you see, this is a major reason he picked up Midway Arcade Origins, so he could actually get through it to the end. Also because in the real arcade, it took way too many quarters. And recent garage sale finds, he's also been on a bit of a dry spell, and the last thing he picked up was a 5-port S-Video Switch. You know, you can get, like, on Amazon, I got, like, an 8-port Switch on Amazon.
For S-Video?
No, you know what? It's not. It's regular, old-school, just composite. Red, yellow,
yeah,
white. You're right, it is not S-Video. That is true. Stanley writes in about a few things, too. Really enjoyed the interview. He has a Lou Glutz Motors vanity plate on his car. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you know how to... he said you can use it to find out if he is at a retro gaming convention. And there's also... And he also has an Atari Jaguar bumper sticker, which I... That would be pretty nice. He said he's been off and on collecting Jim Henson's Storyteller graphic novel collections.
I haven't read those, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it's something I've seen at, like, estate sales and have never purchased. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he says there's a lot of similar interests in nerd culture. You know, how, like, every convention he goes to, there's always at least some Monty Python references around. And he mentions having the Jim Belushi Canine movie on Laserdisc.
That's right, BK mentioned that movie.
Yeah. Did I ever mention that I almost ran over Jim Belushi once?
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I was downtown driving. I was near the lake. And this dude was jogging, just ran full on in front of my car without even looking. And I slammed the brakes, and he kind of gives me one of those, yeah, my bad wave. You know, turns around and gives me like the, yeah, my bad wave, and it was Jim Belushi.
How long ago was this?
Oh, this is over 10 years ago. I don't know when he was last living in Chicago. Or if he was just visiting, I don't know. But it was 100% Jim Belushi, like, unmistakably.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, just out for a jog along the lakefront and running directly in front of cars.
Nice.
Yeah, that was my run-in. And then Stanley has a really technical question that I'm going to butcher this badly, so I apologize to him in advance for completely destroying this question. He has a very, very specific issue with the Sega Saturn and is hoping that either us or someone listening has heard of this. So he has a 50-inch plasma TV that's a little over 10 years old that works perfectly, and he has everything connected to it. You know, TG16 composite and XEGS, connected via an HDMI upscaler, Neo Geo, PS4, retro USB AVS, Dreamcast, and so on. Like, anything. Tons of stuff. And he previously had the Saturn connected via S-Video, but he didn't think it looked very good. So we picked up the RetroTINK Mini 2X. And somehow it's worse. So he has S-Video coming out of the Saturn to the RetroTINK Mini and HDMI from the Mini to the TV. When he powers the Saturn on, it will not display a picture, and other times it will take 20 to 30 seconds. And often he has to reboot the system multiple times to get it working, right? And the problem is this box, the RetroTINK Mini, works with every other console he's tried it with, doesn't have that problem. And the Saturn works perfectly when connected via S-Video. It's only when it's connected through this box that it has a problem. And he lists some of the other equipment he has involved. It's all, you know, stuff that should otherwise work. And he wonders if anyone's encountered an issue like this.
Now, wait, does the Saturn have a native S-video out? I can't even remember.
I believe it does, because I think it's what I have mine hooked up to.
Because my only suggestion would be that, I mean, if the Saturn looks the same on any other TV that you plug it up into, I would say it might need to be recapped or something.
But why would it only be on that particular hookup? You know what I mean?
Well, it wasn't just with the RetroTik, right? It was with... he got that to see if it would fix it.
No, I think you misread. He said the Saturn didn't look great through the S-video, but it worked. When it's connected through the HDMI adapter, then it has the problem where it doesn't show a picture for 20 to 30 seconds.
I mean, it sounds like it's trying to negotiate what resolution it would be, right?
That's why it would take so long. Yeah, something like that, yeah.
I would still say recapping your Saturn, I mean, if you're good or your friend is good at soldering, can't hurt. And if you just Google Sega Saturn cap kit, you could get them for a whole cap kit for $8. I mean, that could help, maybe.
Yeah, or you could fry your Saturn.
Or I voided your warranty, that's for sure. Don't come after me if you accidentally break something because of my advice. My advice is never good.
Yeah, I have no idea. By coincidence, I have a CDI. It won't work at all connected through composite, but works through S-video. Don't know why. Never tried to troubleshoot it because...
Because S-video is better.
No, because it's a CDI.
Oh, yeah, true, yeah. Yeah.
I could free up an S-video port for a better system, you see. It would actually be my benefit to get the CDI to work on composite.
I feel like your next game you write should be a CDI game.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. I own one CDI game. It's Defender of the Crown. I've been thinking of adding like Dragon's Lair, but I don't know if I will.
Because you have Dragon's Lair in every other system.
I have it on literally like Wii, well, PC, obviously, 3DO, Sega CD, Game Boy Color. I even have that weird GameCube remake. Have you played the GameCube Dragon's Lair remake?
No.
Yeah, it's like reimagined as a 3D game.
Huh. Is it good?
Mm-mm. Not at all. Maybe I should give it another try, but I remember even when it was new, the controls felt very dated.
Wow. Yeah, that's one of the few games that they could just keep releasing, and it wouldn't feel that dated just because it looks so good.
Mm-hmm.
I could see how that would not be great if it's a whole different game.
Oh, yeah, it's a completely different game. Just like it sort of is like using rooms and enemies and stuff that's like, for me. Maybe I'll play it tonight. I got nothing else going on.
Yeah, I'll have to YouTube that one.
There might be a PS2 version too. I think it's called like Dragon's Lair Returns. Huh. Something like that.
Weird.
Well, all I know is I have a set of figures. So around the same time when that game was launched, they also launched a series of Dragon's Lair figures.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at a store called Hobo. Do you have those in your area?
I don't think so.
Okay. It's a hardware store. It's called Homeowners Bargain Outlet, I think is what Hobo stands for.
I don't think we had that.
Yeah, it might be. Maybe it's a regional thing. I don't know. But it's a hardware store. That's an important point here. But then they have like this weird like hodgepodge clearance section of like just random stuff that must have fallen off a truck or was in a warehouse. I have no idea where this stuff comes from. But just like a section of just oddball random clearance stuff. And for whatever reason, it had a complete set of Dragon's Lair figures in there. I probably should have bought all of them. There was 100. You know, I should have bought all of them, put them on eBay, I guess.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, very... That's an interesting question, is like, have you found video games at a store that otherwise you would never expect to find video games in?
Yes, I like that question. I think that'd be a good social media question.
Yeah, yeah. If anyone that's made it this far into the podcast can write an email at retrogameclub.net to tell us about that. And last email, I can't remember if it's a new. I don't believe this is a new emailer. I think he sent us photos of this arcade before. This is Benjamin in New York, and he mentions New York City is opening back up, which means the arcades and barcades are coming back in.
That's good news.
Yeah, it is. And there's a barcade on 24th Street in Manhattan. I know where Manhattan is. I don't know where 24th Street is. And played three of his favorite games there. Discs of Tron, Baby Pac-Man, and Time Traveler. And he wants to know if we have any experience with those.
Yeah, I used to, for a short time, I owned a Baby Pac-Man, actually in really good condition. And after a while, I didn't really grow up with the game. It was a lesson learned for me. Only buy or fix up cabs that you are nostalgic for and you actually want to play. I bought it because they're kind of rare in this area. And I didn't own a pinball at the time. I thought it would be cool. And it's not really a good arcade or pinball game.
That's exactly what I put in my notes. I liken it to an El Camino. we're right. It's not a good arcade or a good pinball game.
It's a good idea for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it looks awesome. I mean, this is one of my absolute favorite cabinets. It just looks so cool.
Yeah. And Discs of Tron is a beautiful, fun game. It was actually the home port was a Game Club game a few episodes ago, maybe I think over the winter. Mm-hmm. And that's a beautiful, very expensive game. And the Elysium games, yeah, Time Traveler. I had a chance to buy one of those. I almost did just for the weird factor of it. It's really cool to look at, but yeah, what a laggy, not fun game. I mean, it's barely a game.
Yeah, the maintenance on those has got to be terrible, right? If something goes wrong,
where
do you get parts, right?
They're huge, too.
Yeah.
So.
But, the only time I played one was at that mall. There's this mall in Cincinnati. I don't know if you've been to Cincinnati. It's a random city to go to. But there's this abandoned mall. It's a pretty big mall. And like right in the middle of this abandoned mall, there's a retro arcade. No, there's nothing else in the mall. I don't know if they're paying rent or what. Like, I don't know how this arrangement works. But there's this giant arcade in the middle of an abandoned mall. It's kind of creepy to get to because you're sort of basically walking through. At first, I was worried. Like, I heard about this place. I'm like, well, this can't really be real, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I get to this giant mall. The entrance is open. And you go in, and it's all... There's a handful of, senior citizens just walking around this empty mall. So I'm like, okay, well, this place is clearly not, like, overrun with gangs or anything. So... you eventually work your way to the middle. Again, this place is huge. It's, one of these, like, it's not Mall of America size, but it's really big. Mm-hmm. And yeah, right in the middle, just some dude set up a retro game store and, free play arcade. You pay him like $20 an hour or whatever the cost was. I think it was less than that. And yeah, they had Time Traveler. So that was worth the price of admission right there.
Yeah. Or was it?
It totally was. Now, the downside was I went there in summer. And as you can imagine, if the mall's abandoned, they're not running the AC.
Oh, man. Wow.
So it was, wow. Yeah. Can you imagine being in an arcade with no air conditioning in the middle of summer?
Yeah, not great. And that's not good for the cabs either. That can age them pretty quickly. Wow.
Yeah, well, there was a lot. I'll upload photos sometime. But it was that was quite an experience. Yeah, by just a random... We were going out there for an unrelated reason, and I heard about this and said I got to check this out. Mm.
Nice. Yeah. So, yeah, we have experience with all those games, good and bad.
Yeah.
But we got a few social media comments here about best garage and estate sale finds and some stuff about other games. So, someone writes in that Muppets Party Cruise is worth it just for the Kermit rap.
It's okay.
Yep. The NES, someone likes the NES one, which I don't remember that one.
Was that Baby Muppets?
I forget. Someone else writes in and actually likes Pigs in Space. Yeah, it's not a bad game. Like, please, listeners, if you, you know, if you have a EverDrive, or if you have a old RetroArch or something, just try it out. It's really not bad.
Oh, I see what game he's talking about. Muppet Arcade Chaos at the Carnival for the NES.
Oh, that
sounds
familiar.
It's a collection of mini games. Yeah, I don't think I own this, and it looks like a different game that then someone acquired the Muppets license.
Okay. Someone else says he doesn't know if it's counted as the Muppets, but there's a great Labyrinth game from Lucasfilms, and yeah, okay. Those are very closely related. And what else? Muppet Race Mania and Muppet Monster Adventure on PS1 are pretty good games, someone says. So
I've heard of Muppet Monster Adventure.
Thank you for all that social media feedback, and thank you everyone for writing in. Again, if you want to write in and you've made it this far into the episode, email at retrogameclub.net. Our new games, again, are, what did we pick? Blaster Master and Mr. Dew's Castle.
All right, yeah. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you.